Hour number three of Sports Talk begins with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson, and it's time for us to go to the Stanley Fencing and Gates hotline as we say hello to Brent Hubbs of AllQuest.com. Brent with us for this hour of the program. His appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screen. From design to installation, the team at Diversified has you covered. View their portfolio online at sunandscreen.com. And Brent, you join us on a day where Tennessee is added to the class of 21. Tell us about the latest pledge for the Volunteers.
Well, Tennessee picking up Christian Charles, an athlete out of the state of Georgia, John, that we've mentioned on the show a couple of times. He played a lot of quarterback in high school, played some safety, played some corner, played some nickel on defense, but has played more quarterback than anything else, but is a really good athlete that I think if he had had summer camps, I think he would have really blown up. But this is a guy Tennessee evaluated early in the process, and they like and have continued to evaluate him this fall, and his athletic ability is something that stands out to them. I think they see him as a defensive player all the way at the next level, but is a guy who, again, can run and feels like he has a good understanding of defenses because of what he's done on the offensive side of the ball as a quarterback.
If you have a question or comment for Brent, 656-9900, 656-9900. Brent, Tennessee had the promise, the optimism that was a four-point lead at the half at Georgia. Then the Bulldogs simply took over the game in the third quarter from that point on. What were the biggest takeaways for you as Tennessee suffered its first loss of the season?
Well, I you know, going into the game, I thought Tennessee, I didn't think they matched up great against Georgia's defensive front seven, but I thought that was the best offensive line Tennessee had taken into that game in a number of years. And they didn't play very well. I won't say it was all on them, but that group didn't play well enough. And obviously in the third quarter, Jerry Guarantano had a bad quarter with turnovers. And, wide receivers couldn't get separation and get open, which was a concern going in as well. So, just a lot of different things contributed to it. I know everybody's pointed towards the quarterback, and, Jerry cannot play like he played in the second half. He's got to play better. He was really good in the first half, but I think that entire offense shoulders the blame for the second half meltdown. And then defensively, I thought they did some good things. Penalties hurt them, and the middle of the field continues to hurt them.
I was very surprised, Brent, that the offensive line was overwhelmed like that. That to me was one of my biggest takeaways. Does that give you concern going forward about how good this line might be?
Ask me Sunday, Jimmy, after I see Georgia play against Alabama, provided that game happens.
Or Tennessee against Kentucky.
I think after seeing Georgia in person, and I thought watching them on TV against Auburn, I thought they were really fast, Jimmy, and I thought they played pretty violent and pretty physical. After seeing them in person, they're every bit of that, and they bring them to you in waves. They're really big. They're athletic and can move. They remind me a lot of some of those Alabama defenses a few years ago that were so dominant at times in the front seven. So, I think you got to give Georgia a lot of credit, but obviously this offensive line has got to bounce back. Wanya Morris got to play a lot. I mean, they got to play better across the board. I don't think it's fair to single out one player. But, I think they've got to get healthy. I think they missed Jerome Carvin. I think they're probably better with Carvin at guard and Cade Mays out at right tackle right now. And they've got to physically play better because they were overwhelmed. And I'll say this, too. I didn't think from a pass protection standpoint in the second half in particular, I didn't think the running backs or tight ends were very good in pass pro either. So I wouldn't put it all on those five guys, although those five guys did not play well enough.
One thing that stood out to me, and I just wonder going forward, I didn't think Tennessee did a good job with their tackles in pass protection. Now, maybe that has a lot to do with how good Georgia is, but I just wonder if Tennessee has a lot of really good guards, but maybe not quite as good of tackles.
Well, I don't know if Wanya Morris was completely 100%. I think he battled some bumps and bruises last week. But I don't think Darnell Wright's played particularly well in three games, Jimmy. I really don't. And I'm not trying to pick on Darnell. I think for his talent level, he should be playing better than what he's playing right now. I think he's playing a little slow. I think speed rushers are giving him some problems. And edge pressure certainly gave him issues. And they have communication issues, too. Some of the late shifts by Georgia, I think, caused them some problems. And I think Georgia disguised some stuff that they didn't do a good job recognizing. And so they turned some guys loose. And that's never good when you do that. So I think that group will bounce back this week. I think they'll play better. But, you know, listen, I mean, Tennessee hadn't exactly the last decade or so lined up and crammed it down Kentucky's throat, even against some Kentucky defenses that were giving up a couple hundred yards rushing a game. Last year, Tennessee didn't rush for 100 yards in a shortened game because Kentucky owned time of possession. But, you know, they've not exactly lined up and just walked it up and down the field running the football against Kentucky the last 5 or 6 years.
And also, Tennessee did not get the highly coveted offensive lineman, Amarius Mims. That was not a surprise, was it?
You know, Tennessee made a heck of a run there, Jimmy. I thought back in the spring, I thought Tennessee was pretty much out. I thought it was all Georgia. He was Georgia's probably number one priority on their board. But Tennessee got him on campus multiple times. He came up and saw guys. He was close to some guys on this team and felt pretty comfortable around those guys. But at the end of the day, I just don't think that he could turn down his home state school, his relationship with the Georgia staff, and probably where Georgia is right now as a football program. So, no, I don't think the news yesterday was a surprise based on the vibe you got in the last week to 10 days on it, Jimmy. But there was a point in time in the fall you thought Tennessee had real momentum and a real chance there, but it just didn't happen. And then I don't think Saturday helped, but I think he'd probably made up his mind before Saturday anyway. But I don't know that Saturday helped their calls with him at all.
Let's go to the phones and get a call from Steve, who joins us. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Steve.
Hey, fellas.
Hey.
Hey. Brent, besides the Charles kid, who else is somebody you wouldn't be surprised ends up committing to us?
I don't know that there's anybody that close right now, Steve. You know, Taiwan Malone is the kid up in New Jersey who's a baseball player, football player, defensive tackle that Tennessee's a finalist with. I think Tennessee, Ole Miss, probably the two favorites right there right now. I think Tennessee's chasing Georgia for Nyland Green. I think they're chasing Georgia for Smile Munden. Auburn's still in that a little bit, but I think Tennessee's trailing both of those schools right now. So I don't know that there's somebody that you said, boy, Tennessee's in the lead for him or they're in a great shape. They're certainly still in it for Tyree M. Ingram's Dawkins. He's hard to get a read on because I think he likes everybody a lot. So I think he's going to have a hard time making a decision, which is why he's pushed his commitment date back multiple times. So I think numbers are pretty tight. I think Tennessee may circle back and look around at some guys, but I think they'll be pretty selective down the stretch too. So I just don't know that there's a guy right on the immediate horizon that they're close to landing right now.
Okay. Well, I'm excited about this Charles kid. My feeling is he could end up being a real good player for us. But anyway. Well, okay, guys. I thought of y'all in the second half, and I thought life is so miserable sometimes. But anyway.
Yeah. It can get that way
came
in a
up
hurry.
On Sunday.
But we're talking about the sun, serious stuff.
Yeah, I know it.
But Steve, we always appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Okay.
And if you have a question or comment for Brent, 656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. More with Brent coming up as you listen to Sports Talk on 99.1, The Sports Animal.
The voices in our head may not be real, but they're loud and have some good ideas. This is 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Sports Talk continues with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. Our guest, Brent Hubbs of AllQuest.com. 656-9900 if you have a question or comment for Brent. His appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screen. Jerry joins us next. Hello, Jerry.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Fine. How are you?
Good. Hey, I believe in the old adage that the quarterback gets too much praise when they win and too much blame when they lose. I've got two things having said that. One, the interception by Garantano was obviously a very bad play. But the three fumbles, when I watched it again, it looked like at least two of the three, that one of the linemen or the running back totally missed a block. So having said that, is that totally on those guys, or is there any blame for Garantano not recognizing the defense and making an adjustment at the line?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jimmy.
I was going to say, I thought that was more on the people missing it, the blocks. As a quarterback, I think you have to anticipate if there's a guy in front of the rusher, he's going to block him. And I thought there were some Olay blocks. So I put that more on the lack of execution by the blockers than I did Garantano. What did you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the direction I go. What I don't know is I don't know if Jared and the line should have slid protection there. Did he have his running back in the right spot? Did they ID the Mike linebacker and set the protections the way that they needed to? Was he looking the right direction on his first read and all those types of things? So clearly there was, I mean, you know, they turned some guys loose on the interception. They turned two guys loose there. So I don't know if somebody was supposed to stay in and block Jimmy or exactly what was supposed to happen on that play. But, you know, I think there was clearly some physical missed blocks, but there was some mental side of the things as well. I don't know schematically well enough to distinguish completely between the two.
That's all I had. Thanks, guys.
Jerry, we appreciate it. Let's go next to Steve. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Steve.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Fine. And yourself?
Wonderful. Hey, Brent, what did you think about the overall game plan? I really thought that we'd do a better job of trying to get them guessing maybe a little bit. And on their, if you can, then you got them on your heels. And I think when you're playing a superior defense like Georgia has, that, you know, you got to do something to make them doubt. I didn't think we did a really good job of that. What do you think?
You know, I think they had the great start defensively where got the turnover, which was really good. But then, you know, their first round on offense, they had really poor field position. And I don't know if that affected Jim Chaney's script. They were pretty conservative coming out on that first drive. And then, you know, I wrote this on Wednesday. I didn't think the run game had a ton of creativity to it. When you go back and look, you know, in the South Carolina game to start the second half, tempo really gave South Carolina problems. We saw it give Missouri problems to start the game the week earlier. Tennessee had the jumbo package, which caught Missouri off guard. They pulled tackles, which you don't see very often in the run game. And I'm not saying they should have run those things, and that would have meant that they would have had success. But they had some creativity. They had some wrinkles, if you will, in those games running the football. And I didn't see a ton of that against Georgia. Maybe they didn't trust their offensive line, and if that's the case, they were probably right, given the way that they played. I just don't know with these two running backs that they're going to be able to line it up and hammer it between the tackles very often. I just don't think that that's who they are. I think they got to get on the edges a little bit more. And to do that, I think they're going to have to be a little bit creative. I'll be curious to see what the run game package looks like this week.
But don't you think we had – I mean, I didn't count them, but, I mean, it seemed like repeatedly on first down we tried to run between the center and guard, do something quick up the middle or between the guard and tackle. If we had – 2nd and 8, 2nd and 9, 2nd and 10, repeatedly, and all that did was let them come after us, you know. So I think that first down or the lack of productivity on the first down just really killed the offensive effort that we were, you know, I thought we'd have. But, you know, obviously
well,
we all hope
they had
better on Saturday than we got.
Yeah, well, I think they had 5 first down plays where they jumped off sides. So your 1st and 15
yeah.
Instead of 1st and 10. So that's not your play call. That's your mental mistake and your mental issue there that puts you behind the sticks. Field position affects
right.
that. You know, they got the one stop, and you felt like Tennessee was going to have field position, and the guy kicks a 70-yard punt, which was pretty crazy. You know, again, I think that I think they felt like pretty early in that game they were going to have a hard time running the football. They wanted to throw it. They got some one-on-one matchups out there, and quite frankly, they had a hard time winning one-on-one matchups outside of Josh Palmer. You go back and look, and I'm not picking on Cedric Tillman, but there's a third down throw. I think it was a third down throw, or maybe in the third quarter on one of the fumble drives, I think. Maybe it was a second down throw. Tillman runs a crossing pattern, and JG throws the ball well, but Tillman created zero separation coming out of his break. None whatsoever. And so the windows were just really small, and I think when you add all those things up, you have a bad offensive day. And really, outside of the two plays to Palmer, Jimmy, they had a bad offensive day, not just a half.
Yeah.
They had a bad offensive day. They didn't move the football from the opening drive to the closing drive, other than the two plays that Palmer made on jump balls.
Yeah, they didn't really sustain any drives.
In the second play. No,
yeah, didn't really sustain drives.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate it, guys, and go ball.
Steve, thank you very much. Our next caller is Randy. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Randy.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Speakerphone here. Just two questions. How close are we with the Simpson quarterback? How good a shape are we there? And just is it just not sort of an indictment that we're in year three and we're just still putting the square peg in the round hole with this quarterback?
As for Ty Simpson, I think that's Tennessee and Clemson. I think he has got a great relationship with Chris Winkie. Ty's got a really good relationship with Jim Chaney. I think Tennessee has done a great job recruiting him, continues to do a good job recruiting him. There's the lure of Clemson, obviously, because of the success that they're having. But there's a lot of people around Ty that have a lot of strong Tennessee ties. So I don't think Ty's in any hurry. I think he's going to see some places. I expect he'll see Tennessee maybe even as early as this weekend. And he's going to see some other schools. He's disappointed that you can't have normal visits, but he's going to find his way to watch some games and to get into some towns and hang out with some players and that type of thing. I don't think he's in a huge hurry, and I think Tennessee's positioned themselves pretty well with him right now.
Awesome. Awesome. I don't want to belabor the point. I don't have anything against Garantano. I don't get we're in year three and we're still putting a guy out there that can't get it done.
Well,
but anyway, hang on, bless you.
But nobody else has won the job. I mean, that's just it. I think one thing that Jeremy Pruitt has shown is he's not one to suffer fools. If he doesn't think you're pulling your weight as an assistant, he's going to go in a different direction. If you're not pulling your weight as a player, you're not going to play.
Right.
And, I mean, sure, Tennessee could very much benefit greatly from a consistent contribution from that spot. For Tennessee to take the next step, it obviously is a step up starting with quarterback play. But there has – I mean, Brian Maurer has been in and out of the lineup due to injury last year, as well as hadn't really been able to get on the field this year. And then, I mean, JT Shrout is actually number two on the depth chart because Bailey hasn't really had the chance to get out there, Brent, and develop. I mean, it's not that there aren't suitable candidates. It's just that right now, Garantano, in the eyes of the coaching staff, gives them the best chance to win.
Brian Maurer had an opportunity to run with. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead, Brent.
I don't get it to where you've got fifth year guys out there all over the country, and here we said again, you know, we're getting blown out by our rivals. That's just blown out. I mean, it's, you know, the defense plays their guts out, but it doesn't matter. Anyway, y'all have a good day.
Appreciate it, Randy. Brent, you were going to say?
Well, I mean, at the half, he had two incompletions and two touchdown passes. And again, I mean, I get the frustration, and Jared's got to put four quarters together. But for the half at Georgia, every Tennessee fan at the half was talking about he's turned the corner. You know, this is the Jonathan Crompton senior year quarterback revival that's taking place. Now, he came out third quarter, laid an egg. Okay, that team laid an egg in the third quarter offensively. You know, look, Jared's got to go out and play well Saturday. If he doesn't, he won't be in the ballgame. I believe they'll pull him. As for Brian Maurer, Brian had a chance to win this job last year. It was, I know he was hurt in the regular season, But you know, he comes into the Indiana game and the bowl game. He's got a chance. Doesn't perform well. Performs poorly enough that they go back to Jared in that game. So Brian had a lot of opportunities last year and didn't capitalize on it. J.T. Stroud has not had as many opportunities. I'm curious to see what he looks like. I think Jim Chaney and this staff missed an opportunity at the end of the Missouri game to get a guy on the field and get at least one series for him. They missed an opportunity at the end of the Georgia game when the game was over to come in and get a snap, you know, get a series in and see what happens there. As for the fifth-year transfer guys, they tried with JT Daniels. They tried to recruit JT Daniels. He went to Georgia instead. But Tennessee made an effort and tried to recruit him and get him to come to Tennessee. He elected not to. The only other guy out there really of note was, I guess the two, was the Bryce kid that went to Duke. He made an early decision. And then Jamie Newman left Wake Forest, and obviously he's not playing football now. So that wouldn't have helped anybody had he come in and played. So, you know, look, this is where Tennessee's at. If Jared doesn't play well early on Saturday, they'll yank him out of the ballgame. Clearly they felt like he gave them the best chance to win last Saturday. And again, if, ands, candy, nuts, and butts, and have a Merry Christmas, they were 30 seconds away from being down 2 points going into the fourth quarter. John, if somebody would have said, hey, going into the fourth quarter and you're down 2 points, I'd say most Tennessee fans would have been pretty excited at that point. Yes. Even though they played that bad in the third quarter, then it fell apart on them. At the end of the third quarter, then they had the sack fumble, and all of a sudden it's a rout. You know, now, was Tennessee playing great offensively to be that close? No, they weren't at all. They'd made two plays, you know, and sometimes that's, you know, you need three plays. Or you need four plays. What they didn't need was three negative plays by their quarterback. And unfortunately, they got them in the second half, and that's where they're at. They're going to, you know, hosting Kentucky, trying to get, you know, bounce back and get moving forward.
That's Brent Hubbs with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. We'll get a break. We've got two more segments with Brent coming up to join us. 656-9900, 656-9900. This is Sports Talk on 99.1, The Sports Animal. Sports Talk rolls on with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. Our guest, Brent Hubbs of AllQuest.com. Brent's appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screen. From design to installation, the team at Diversified has you covered. View their portfolio online at sunandscreen.com. It's Tony who joins us next. Hello, Tony.
Hey, gentlemen. How y'all doing today?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well. Hey, I just wanted to say, I think that Jared is getting too much blame for, you know, what happened in the game. Now, last year, I was one of his biggest critics, you know, as his performance. That's not as a person, but his performance on the field. But I don't care who the quarterback was. I don't care. It could have been Aaron Rodgers. If you get hit from the blind side and the blitzes are coming at you and you're not seeing them, anybody gonna turn the ball over now, with the exception of the bad pass he made on the interception, but the other two or three turnovers, I guess that's how many it was. It seemed like sometime, like Georgia had 15 or 16 players out on the field playing against 11, because I mean he was getting hit from the blind side, and they were not so much interested in just, you know, tackling him or sacking him. They were hitting his arm and his hand. So I think, you know, on Friday he gets all the blame. You know, like I said last year now, I was one of his biggest critics, but the offensive line and the running back, in my opinion, that was assigned to pick up some of those blitzes. And whatever Georgia was doing, they just seemed to me like they just fell completely apart. And like I said again, it could have been Aaron Rodgers back there. I don't care who the quarterback was. You get hit like that from the blind side and never see the lick coming. I just wanted to, you know, come to his defense a little bit, because I think he's been playing a little bit better, with the exception of the second half of the Georgia game. I noticed that he's getting rid of the ball a lot quicker than he did last year. He's not holding it. And I just wanted to say that and see what y'all guys think, and I'll hang up and listen to you.
Thank you, Tony.
You know, John and Jimmy, I'll ask you both this and throw it back to you for your comments and thoughts. I thought in the first half, Jared's eyes were really good and his feet were really good. He was under a lot of pressure, but I thought he escaped that pressure pretty well, whether it was scrambling back to the line of scrimmage or moving away from a free blitzer or whatever. I thought he was pretty good in the first half. That probably the best he's been at avoiding those plays. The strip sack fumble for a touchdown, I'm not sure he could have done anything about that. The other ones, he's got to hold the ball better when he's going to take a sack. He can't turn the ball over that way. And the interception was a bad play. I didn't think he moved around as well in the second half. And maybe it was because the third quarter started the way it did. Jimmy, I didn't think he avoided pressure in the second half the way he did in the first half.
No, and for as bad as things went in the second half, you pointed this out, he's 11 of 13, 124 yards and two touchdowns, and you have the lead. He played well enough that first half. I did think this, though. I thought when things started going sour in the second half, I thought he got a little bit rattled.
No question.
Right? Throw and interception, I agree with that. I don't blame him for one of the – he fumbled three times, and they lost two of them. I thought one of those fumbles, in my opinion, was clearly his fault for not securing the ball. He was handed it out there like a loaf of bread. But that game is not on Garantano, not to me. I think Tennessee has a hard time winning big games with him because I think he is limited in what he can do, but I don't put that one on him. What he has to do is win the games you're supposed to win. He has to beat the South Carolinas. He has to beat the Missouris. He's got to beat Kentucky. Those are the games he's got to win. But I think Tennessee is hamstrung a little bit when they play against the better teams in the league because I don't think he's an elite quarterback at all.
Let's go next to Robert. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Robert.
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call. I do believe that Tennessee can play four complete quarters with Kentucky in this upcoming game, and I do believe that is the reason why there's going to result in a W. To back up to the Georgia-Tennessee game, the defense, I do believe, had to spend too much time out on the field, and by the time they got to the end of the third quarter, it was getting to be pretty difficult for them to continue. I think special teams might have had a better difference. You know, in hindsight, everybody gets to look at it when it's over. And I'm not saying that I'm a coach. But the special teams might have made a difference to keep it in the end of the game closer than it was. I still believe that this team is depth-wise good enough to beat a Kentucky team. It's here at home, right?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Okay. So I believe that we'll pull this one out. It's not going to be, a barn burner, but I could be wrong. The weather looks like it's going to be nice. So just wanted to touch base with you guys and hope you have a great afternoon. See ya.
All right. Sure do appreciate it. Thank you.
I disagree on special teams. I thought Tennessee, other than one kickoff return, where they missed a tackle at the 20 or 25 yard line, was really good on special teams. I thought their punt coverage and punt and their punt game was outstanding. I thought Paxton Brooks punted the ball well, and the coverage on their punts were fantastic. All but one of the kickoffs were a touchback. They didn't have a chance to kick a field goal, and they didn't really have a chance in a punt return game. Velus Jones brought one out of the end zone or brought one out that was really kicked high. He probably should have fair caught. They didn't make a play there, I guess, in the second half when they had a chance. But I don't think special teams was the reason why Tennessee was getting blown out or getting run away. But, you know, Georgia was running away from them in the second half.
I agree with you.
Again, Robert, we appreciate the call. We'll get a break and be back with a final segment to this hour of Sports Talk. One more segment with Brent Hubbs. That's coming up next as you listen to 99.1 The Sports Animal.
The Sports Animal and Alexa are best friends. Just tell her, Alexa, enable the 99.1 The Sports Animal skill.
Skill enabled.
Then anytime you want immediate Tennessee sports info, say, Alexa, play 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Okay, playing 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Final segment to hour number three of Sports Talk, a final segment with Brent Hubbs of AllQuest.com. Brent's appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screen. It's Rivalry Thursday, Catholic here at home against Baylor as the Red Raiders arrive. Brent, obviously a lot of them outfitted in red, but there was one young man who was wearing a very specific shade of orange as he arrived. Your thoughts on Elijah Howard and his role and standing in the class of 21?
Well, I think the question with Elijah is, you know, where is he going to play? What position is he going to be at? And, you know, where are things, you know, going forward with him? You know, academically and all those things, I think Elijah Howard's a good athlete. Everybody's known about him since he was in eighth grade when he was playing at Webb as an eighth grader. And he's certainly a fantastic athlete. I think the question everybody has right now is, you know, where's he going to play position-wise in college?
Let's go back to the phones and talk to Peyton. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Peyton.
Hey, guys. How are y'all doing?
Fine. How are you?
Doing pretty good. I just had a kind of a question mixed in with a comment. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but I feel like the rest of the fan base might be feeling the same way, but I just feel like the answer, you know, Garantano gives us the best chance to win is just kind of a lazy answer. You know, I agree that he's a better option than Trout and Maurer, but and
that's
I know
based
Bailey
on the coach's determination, by the way. It's
yeah,
not.
Oh, I know.
I mean, okay.
I agree, and I'm not sitting here one of these fans and act like I know more than the head coach of, you know, UT, but I do think that it is. I'd like to know more about why he is the best because, you know, obviously I think he's incapable of winning us a big game. And, you know, I, as being a UT fan for all these years, I sit back and I'm like, where are the freshman quarterbacks like Clemson gets with Lawrence or Sam Howell at North Carolina or, you know, all these other schools? Why can't we ever get that? And I feel like that we actually do have that in Bailey. So I'm kind of curious as to when we might see him, because I do think that we're going to see him at some point. And do you guys think that when he gets the playbook down and all the other stuff down, do you think he will give us a better chance to win than Garantano? And I'll just kind of hang up and listen to what you guys say. Thank you, guys.
All right, Peyton, thank you. Have a great night.
Well, I mean, Tennessee didn't want, you know, that their offensive system didn't fit Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence grew up a Tennessee fan, but Tennessee was never a factor there with the previous coach and staff. Sam Howell's a guy that the previous offensive coordinator here in Tennessee didn't like, and so they elected not to recruit Sam Howell. And so he flipped from Florida State to North Carolina on signing day. So that's, you know, for various reasons, those two guys specifically, why they're not on Tennessee's campus. Here's the thing on Harrison Bailey, and I've seen Harrison Bailey throw one day on a college campus. And I think Harrison Bailey is a talented player. He led Georgia 6A to, you know, the state championship. Is he as ready to play as Trevor Lawrence was coming out of high school? Not in my opinion. No. Is it fair to compare him to Trevor Lawrence? I don't think so. I think Trevor Lawrence is really, really good. Harrison Bailey may end up being a really, really good player. I don't know. I mean, I think it's too premature to say for a guy who didn't get to go through spring practice, who missed basically the first 2 weeks of fall camp because he was in quarantine. You know, and he's a different player. Trevor Lawrence, you know, when you look back at his freshman year, Jimmy, his legs were a bit of a factor for him. That's not Harrison Bailey's game. So, you know, I don't know when Harrison Bailey's going to be ready. I said this earlier, and I believe this. Jim Chaney missed an opportunity in the Missouri game and in the Georgia game to get a second quarterback on the field, whether that was Bailey, Stroud, Maurer, you know, whatever the case may be. He missed that opportunity to do that when I think he had chances. And I think given the year where you don't have the Chattanoogas and those type schools on your schedule, you better get a guy in for, even if it's just for one series, that one series means something because you're not going to have an opportunity to play a guy for a full quarter. As specifically why Garantano gives Tennessee the best chance to win, I don't know. I'm not at practice every day. I'll defer to the $6.5 million worth of money that Philip Fulmer's spending over there, and a head coach and an offensive coordinator who's making that decision. And for the money they're spending, you hope they're making the right decision.
Don't have much time. I did want to ask you quickly about Bailey getting all 49 snaps in the scrimmage. Do you think that they're trying to get him ready to play this year?
I think they're just trying to get him comfortable in the offense because he missed so much time. If that means he plays and he's ready later on in the year to play, then, yeah, I think they're going to play the best guy who gives them the best chance to win. And Saturday in the second quarter, if Jared Garantano's not playing well, it might be Brian Maurer, JT Sherrod, or Harrison Bailey. I think right now Bailey is behind because of all the time he missed, Jimmy. So I think they're trying to give him as many reps as they can to get him up to speed in case they feel like they need to make a change, and that's something they look at. They will play Jerry Garantano.
Brent, what's going on?
It's JT Shrout team.
Brent, what's going on at BallQuest.com these days?
Just getting you guys ready for Kentucky this weekend. Good to visit with you guys. Have a great one, all right?
All right, sure to appreciate it. Thank you. That's Brent Hubbs of BallQuest.com. His appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screen as he joins us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.